Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to Following On. I'm John Norman, and fresh from England's victory over India in the first Test match, Chennai, it gives us an opportunity to bring you some of the lunch features we did during that first Test match. Today's podcast sees Neil Manthorpe joined by Jared Kimber and the former England spinner Gareth Batty to discuss the topic of rest and rotation ahead of a busy winter for England. Don't forget, you can hear live and exclusive ball-by-ball commentary of the second test from Chennai this Saturday morning on TalkSport 2 from 3:45 a.m. But without further ado, let's get into today's show, where we'll also hear from England's national selector Ed Smith. You're listening to the Following On podcast.
Now, we're going to spend the next 20 minutes or so in discussion about rest and rotation, which has been taken to a new level England's head of selectors, Ed Smith, and because of the pandemic as well, because of life in the bubble, there is the mental health of players to be considered as well as physical health. And in the past, rest and rotation has always been a subject of some controversy, and the old school cricket people have not enjoyed the idea of rest and rotation. It didn't happen in Fred Truman's day, and it's never happened really on a regular basis in English sport and in cricket. And it's a subject that has now, as I said, been taken to a different level, hasn't it, Gareth Batty? And Jared Kimber is also part of this conversation because of the pandemic and because of life in the bubble and biosecure environments. And it's I wonder whether we should actually hear from Ed Smith first. Let's actually do that, because Johnny Bairstow, Mark Wood and Sam Curran have all been rested for the first two test matches. So they're not in India, and they are key members of, multi-format, but, you know, they are key members of the test squad. Jos Buttler returns home to England after this test match. He's had a very good test match. So Ed Smith says that the pandemic has presented an opportunity for the ECB to reassess how they look after the players, as I said, mentally and physically. It's a massively long year. Let's hear what he said.
We need to almost reconsider how we frame the concept of rest. What we're really thinking about here is not necessarily only the question of time in cricket and time out of cricket, but also what the circumstances of a player's life are when they're playing. And we, you know, I mentioned at the beginning that, you know, COVID protocols, which determine how a player can live his life, vary enormously, not only between competitions and between tours, but also within competitions. So really what we're looking at is we're trying to work out how draining and how debilitating the circumstances are for that individual player. Is his family able to be with him if he's, you know, got kids and a family life? If so, you know, is that environment actually maybe quite healthy and helping for his immediate cricketing challenges? And it's just that awareness of whether players are feeling really depleted by the experience they're having, or whether in some cases they're actually feeling, you know, very comfortable and they're travelling well. I think they're the kinds of conversations which are going to be very important in terms of England's performance. and those trusting relationships between players and management, players and selectors, and also the well-being of medics, so that we're able to make the most informed decisions. In terms of what cricket's going to be like in England next summer, you know, I don't know the answer to that. But I do know that we as a selection group, myself, James Taylor and Chris Silverwood, we want to do everything we can to know the most amount about how players are and to do the best thing for them and for England cricket. And that's going to be a big part of our job in this next cycle.
That's England national selector Ed Smith talking about the policy of rest and rotation. One thing is for certain, gentlemen, is that we are all thinking about things in a different way, thinking about things in ways that we haven't done before.
Yeah, I think even before the pandemic, we were seeing that the duty of care towards players was being considered far more than it had done in previous years. The world is changing, times are changing, everything is evolving. And I think, you know, from speaking to, I can only say for players I've spoken to, I'm not going to name their names, but if they're in the IPL and then touring with England, they can be, you know, potentially some of these guys could be in India for the best part of 5 months. I mean, that is a huge amount of time away from your inner sanctum of your home, your family, your loved ones. Very difficult. And with the pandemic, you are in these biosecure bubbles. You are not allowed to basically step outside. You are not allowed. You have no control over your life. As soon as you wake up in the morning to the time you leave, there is somebody directing you through the arrows. This is what you can do. This is what, and you don't have choices. You don't have the things that make us human beings, which obviously has an effect on the players. And we're seeing it here just in London. I live in London and people are fed up with the 9 month lockdown. It is such a very difficult thing. So I think if you get that and then scrutinize it into these circumstances where you're thousands of miles away from loved ones and family and so on and so forth, in a high pressure environment, your mind can play tricks with yourself. So this is actually looking after players for me. There's an element of rest and rotation for body, but I actually think it's a positive thing, and it's here to stay. So the old guard who don't like it and are grumpy about it and sort of go on about it, well, you had your time then. This is the time now. This is their time, and this is right for now. And that is the only way we can look at this.
You both have young families, both of you. Jared, you were initially quite strongly against professional sport returning while the pandemic was raging. You must be, I guess, empathetic, if not sympathetic.
Yeah, it's a very tough environment, I think, for anyone. I mean, I think there was 1 year Jimmy Anderson was away from home 250 days of the year before the pandemic. So it's not like these are particularly new things. But when we were in Sri Lanka... when we were in South Africa with the team, we happened to be in the same hotel and their families came out. That's the one difference that you could have done before the pandemic, isn't it? You could fly your family out for a week, a couple of weeks in those sorts of situations. Now they're having to travel, you know, very much within the, you're sort of double bubbled in a way. You're forced to be in a bubble away from your normal support bubble, if it is. So it is very tough. I would say this though, I think England cricket wanted to do this kind of rotation policy before this. I think it's something that they have already shown. They've talked about the platoon of fast bowlers. I think they've done a similar thing with their opening batsmen, you know, Keaton Jennings coming back in at times when they're playing in Asia. So I think they're taking this as an opportunity, and I don't mean that in a callous way, but I think they're taking it as an opportunity to see if this works as a theory of rotating players. But yeah, it's tough for everyone at the moment, isn't it? And look at you. You're in a bubble a long way from home right at the moment, Manus.
Yeah, I'd never done isolation before. I did my 10 days when I arrived here, and I wrote that I was talking to the fridge after 8 days.
Yeah, you're not a man who should ever be left on his own.
Well, fortunately, we've got Zoom and the like. You know, I was speaking to people, but just not face to face. It was that interaction. We're talking about rotation now, but what about rest? Because the subject, this is a different subject. Stuart Broad and Jimmy Anderson are both in India. Stuart Broad's been sitting in his whites carrying drinks. So that's a different story. I mean, that's rest, as I say. Well, many England fans will say they were our two best bowlers in Sri Lanka. Why couldn't we at least have played them in the first test of the series?
I think the first point is that the Anderson Broad situation is very different to the rest of this. This has been a thing where, and for me, I think it's a real positive if we can extend their careers by managing their workloads, by managing how much cricket they play back to back, because that is the issue here. It's the wear and tear of back to back cricket, not the amount over a year. If you have rest and recovery in between, medical science has gone through the roof in the last few years, and you can keep people on the park. We saw Brady winning the NFL at an age of 43 and said he wants to play to 45. So there is absolutely no reason we cannot keep Broad and Anderson around this group for another 2 or 3 years. Now, the add-on effect that will have on the rest of the players in this group is only a positive. If they both finish now, you have a huge gap that you cannot fill. I don't care how good some of the young talent is. The experiences, the things that they bring to this group, you cannot replace. You can only maybe just fill in with a little bit of sand, but you're going to have a pretty big void. So I think it's really smart, as long as they're buying into it and they're comfortable with it. That is a really good thing. And, the flip side of it is, and I know people are going to, and we'll probably talk about it now, Butler going home tomorrow. Well, it's the bigger picture again. It would have been 3 test matches in that month, 2 in Sri Lanka and then 1 here. And then he goes back home to see his young family. Before then, he comes back out and he'll probably be involved in the white ball stuff. I'm not too sure about, but I assume so. And then he's got IPL. IPL is part of the international calendar now. You can't say to these lads, you can't have that £1 million for going out and playing there. We've made that and sort of changed schedules so that this happens now. That is part of it. So you have to make that in your thought process moving forward for these lads.
And I just want to go on the Anderson Broad thing a little bit here. So I did a video on Jimmy Anderson the other day, and I mentioned our big man over here, Darren Goff, in the video. Darren Goff bowled 44,000 professional first-class deliveries. I think Jimmy Anderson's at around 50, 51,000 at the moment. Goffey did almost all of his bowling in first-class cricket when it didn't matter. Anderson's doing most of his bowling in test cricket when it does matter. You don't want Goffey bowling on a Tuesday on a wet wicket in Wanted Road. You want him available, fully fit for the next test as far as you can push his body, because his body is going to give away. And the same is Jimmy's is eventually going to give away, and Broadie's might give away as well. So you want to get the absolute most out of them. And that is not how cricket has gone. We talk about that, guys like Courtney Walsh. How many other thousands of bowlers out there, by the time they're 28, 29, just are no longer test level bowlers anymore because their bodies give way and we don't prepare them. If we're in a situation now where we're thinking about those sorts of things, we should be able to get more out of talented players rather than, as Bat said, other than having to fill in with a bag of sand.
But that is why we brought in central contracts. So these guys are managed now. They are monitored. There'll be algorithms about their bodies and how they're going to go about it. There's a real scientific as well as a human approach to this, where they will be spoken to face-to-face. Central contracts have been the making of fast bowlers.
I just want to go to the analogy of Premiership football clubs, for example. They have squads of, 25, and I would be offended if anybody, not personally, but if I was an England player, I would be offended if anybody said, this is our best 11. This is our best 11, and we're compromising it by resting and rotating. And I mean, England, who's to say that England are going to be a worse team if Ben Foulkes comes in and keeps wicket for the next 3 test matches? So, we have a kind of franchise, we're heading towards in international cricket, a kind of franchise concept where we have squads of 23, 24 players. And it doesn't matter if you scored a hat-trick in the last game. It's we're resting you for the next one.
I think Matthew Hoggard said it best. When he retired, he became the best fast bowler ever. Because he's done, he's finished his career. We're talking about Don Bess and marrying him up with Swanee. Swanee would have had days like Don Bess has had where it's maybe not quite as good and so on and so forth. You can only really make your final judgments at the end of somebody's career. So allow them that process. Allow them to get the 260 wickets or whatever it was that Swanee got. Don't be judging him as our perception of Graham Swan as a player when he's in his 10th test match. It's bonkers, but we do it. And it's wrong. And I actually think we're getting to the stage where, certainly within the game, there's an acceptance. As long as you have the skill sets, then it's been afforded the opportunity to actually put your career together to end up with the... We know what the outcome results we want, but it's actually being able to put that process together. And I think sometimes we're quick to judge, particularly with young players, particularly with inexperienced players.
Well, I think that there's a fundamental thing within cricket, which is that the 11 is the most important thing. And I think you talked about the franchising. And I think part of that comes from international sport. If you're Manchester City, you've got, let's say, two or three gun strikers on your list. But you also have probably two or three other developing strikers that you think will eventually be at that level or are very capable backups. That's not how international sports works. You know, if when Shakib Al-Hassan went down, Bangladesh didn't have another gun all-rounder to bring in because they couldn't just sign one in and bring him in. He went down for match-fixing, but a slightly different situation there. But, you know, essentially, what England are trying to do is bring in that sort of franchise kind of thinking and that sort of Manchester City or, you know, Golden State Warriors kind of thinking of, okay, this is our starting lineup. This is our main team. But we're going to have a flexibility and an ability to change this. Now, T20, this comes from T20 franchises, realistically. That's where this comes from. And it's a tricky situation. I remember in 10-11 when Mitchell Johnson played the first test of the Ashes and didn't play in the second test. And everyone said he was rested and rotated. I can tell you there was one person who didn't feel that way, and that was Mitchell Johnson, who said, I was dropped for the last test, which ruined all of Cricket Australia's good PR work that they tried to do about resting and rotating. And that is because we're not used to that sort of thinking and that mindset. What England are doing right now is trying to make that a normal part of cricket, because it is going to have to be something that goes forward, because there is so much cricket being played. And what you want is, you really want to be able to say to these players, look, this isn't, you're not being dropped. You are just being rested and rotated. And I was involved with the T20 franchise that tried to do this, and they didn't communicate it correctly. And players are now, I think, the younger generation of players coming in. I think if you said to Dom Best now, you know, you're going to, these are the situations we want to use you, and these are the situations we want to use Jack Leach, and these are the situations we want to use both of you together. If you improve the rest of your cricket, then you might be a frontline bowler. But there are still going to be times when you don't play. That is not how we were brought up as cricketers. Even, you know, you and me, Manners, as our rubbish cricketers, and Bats as a, you know, a test quality player. We weren't brought up like that. We were brought up to think that the 11 was this special thing that you had to be in at all times. I don't think the next generation of cricketers will do that. And it's not just England who are doing it.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There were two problems that made players not buy into the concept of rest and rotation over the course of the years. The first was payment, was match fees. That's obviously... No, I'm serious, isn't it?
No, it's fair.
It? Yeah, I mean, it's... You know, what do you mean I'm being rotated? Do I still get my match fee? Well, central contracts has largely alleviated that, although not everybody is centrally contracted. The other thing, though, Bats, is that... players used to say, okay, fine, so I'm getting rested for the next game and the guy who takes my place takes a fifer, takes 5 for 50 and wins the game. And then you go, oh, he's in form. So he keeps my place. And I was only rested. I wasn't dropped. So we have to, again, look perhaps in cricket at selection, at form, not playing quite the role in selection that it has done for 200 years.
That's because selection has always been worse than the level of cricket that is played. Selection in cricket is absolutely terrible. The procedures in place, the people who have been doing the selection. Most selectors in the world don't watch their first class setups. Most of them are amateur. Most of them are committees of people who all come from different areas. We're only now getting to the point where teams like England and India and Australia are using scouts. We're only now getting to the point where they have advanced metrics to go off. So up until then, I think the players are right to say, if this guy takes five for you, you're just going to go with him next test. Whereas I don't think that is the case anymore. And that also there has to be a discipline from selecting. And I don't think that cricket has ever had good selecting throughout the entire history of the sport.
Cricket is not always current on what modern life is dealing the cards to people. Cricket is very much stuck in the dark ages because of stats, because of, I suppose, us sat here now saying, oh, well, that didn't happen 10 years ago and so on and so forth. But the current way of thinking, and we're trying to get current, which is not going to be to everybody's liking, but life has to keep moving forward, and we can't keep saying, oh, it was good enough then, it's good enough now. That's nonsense. What a load of nonsense that is. Life has to move forward. We have to use these modern things. We have to embrace it. Ultimately, it comes down to good communication for players to keep them happy. The best managers now are almost like parents to their players, and Klopp's been saying it for 2 or 3 years. He can't be your best friend, but he can be a blooming good father to his players and do the right thing for people. And if we do the right thing by people, we will get it back tenfold in performance.
There's two really good stories here for you, Manus, about how bad selecting has been in cricket. One, Basil de Oliveira. I talked about this, I think, on air the other day. Basil de Oliveira's story, when you go back, it should be cut and dry that he was dropped because they were worried about going to South Africa with a player who wasn't white from South Africa. But when you look at that summer, England used 19 players that summer. They had no idea about selection. Ken Higgs was averaging 21 with the ball and was dropped because he had one bad test and never played again. They had absolutely no idea what they were doing with selection at that stage. But my other story is from much more recently. Merv Hughes was one of the Australian selectors, and sadly, not even one of the worst Australian selectors of recent times. Mark Wall was even worse. But Merv Hughes, when they said to him, how have you been, how have you been thinking Australia's been going in this tour? And he said, well, I haven't been watching it. I can't afford Foxtel. I can't afford their pay TV subscription. So I can't watch Australia when they tour. He was an unpaid selector.
True story.
True story. Unpaid selector, right? Trying to do the job of selecting and not even watching the team when they travel. And so if he can't do that, how can he afford to go to Tasmania and watch a Shield game there, or South Australia and watch a Shield game there? That was, I think, 2008 or 2009 when Merv Hughes was a selector. It is dreadful. How professional cricket is now compared to where it was, and the selecting is still far behind. That is one of the things that England is trying to fix. And look, I don't agree with everything that they're trying to do, but they're certainly trying to take it in the right direction.
I think one of the amusing things is when selectors phone up the coaches of the various teams around the country, wherever they are, and say, I see your young lad took five. How's he going? So, even if the coach was the most honest person on earth, he's not going to say, oh, he's not up to it, mate. No, he's not ready. He's going to say, yeah, well, give him a go. Yeah, sure. I just want to let's hear a bit more from Ed Smith, if we can here, particularly on Johnny Bairstow, who comes out for the second two test matches, is resting at the moment, having done very well in Sri Lanka. And bear in mind that England have the busiest year coming up in cricket, international cricket history. They're playing 17 test matches, there's a T20 World Cup and all sorts of other games. No team has ever played more international cricket, if it all goes ahead, of course. But on the subject of Johnny Bairstow, rested for the first two test matches after playing very, very well in Sri Lanka, England's second highest run scorer behind Joe Root. Here's Ed Smith on Johnny Bairstow.
We spoke with Johnny at Loughborough. There was a whole series of really good practices organised at Loughborough before the Sri Lanka tour that Mo Bobat supervised and organised. And we caught up with every player individually at those sessions, including Johnny. And we spoke to Johnny and said, look, you're in every squad format as it stands. Fantastic opportunity coming up in Sri Lanka where we expect you to get game time. But at some point, as is the case with the other multi-format players, you're going to need your rest too. And he completely understands that and endorses it. I think, whatever time you take rest, there's always a downside. because these guys, and Johnny included, love playing for England. And they, you know, pretty much every conversation I have with a player about this, they'll say, you know, I love playing for England, but they also understand that, you know, they need their rest. So all sides to it. But it felt like the right thing to do for Johnny to take his break now, because obviously he's a key part of the white ball setup. So then he can continue on when he comes back into the test squad, and then he continue on with the white ball team afterwards.
Gareth, the one man we haven't mentioned in the conversation so far is Owen Morgan, who is one of England's greatest captains, even though he's not a test captain. We've never said that before, but he will be having a significant input, I would imagine, into who he wants in the T20 series in India, because that's where the T20 World Cup takes place at the end of the year.
Yeah, the best captain, because the outcome is what you judged on, and he's taken a bunch of lads over a four-year period and got the World Cup at the end of it. So you have to be listening to this man. You have to be taking heed of what he's after and trying to accommodate that wherever possible, because he has a pedigree of producing and accumulating a bunch of players and getting the best out of them to win a trophy. And obviously we want to win that trophy. So within that, you've got to look at the whole calendar and you marry up and say, right, exactly what Ed Smith said there. This is an opportunity to rest this guy and almost freshen up so that actually he's in a better place. Ultimately, we're talking about being, as individuals and players, being in their best possible place to play the best possible cricket for England, and England as a whole being in a better place. That's ultimately what we're talking about. And the modern world suggests that we need to take this bit of time out. We need to rest and recuperate. By the way, everybody thinks that these lads come home and then just sit on a couch and eat crisps. And they don't. I was in at the Oval yesterday after we finished here. I promise you, the lads work their socks off. I saw Sammy. He's in there working his socks off. There is no... It's not like the old school of go and get fat for a few months and then go and bowl in the nets and get your fitness up. These lads are constantly being evolved, their bodies and getting fit and all this. So, nah. It's a rest of the mind as much as the body, but also refreshing the body with putting good physicality into them. And
rest is a really misleading word, isn't it? I mean, we should come up with another word for it, because the idea, because it's exactly what it sounds like. Oh, we're resting him for this. It's the idea that he's sitting on the couch with his feet up.
No chance.
It's recuperation. You're a big follower of American sport, Jared, and they, in very many ways, not always good ways, in terms of drugs and steroids and things. You know, they're normally, but they have for generations been ahead of the rest of the world. Pick your American sport. I know you follow them all, but you know, where are they in terms of rest and rotation, that sort of thing?
Well, you look at baseball pitching. I suppose it's been ahead of everything, because you can't pitch every day. You know, it's completely different to cricket. I think they average a 3 or 4 days rest between each inning that they each outing that they do. And of recent times, they've been taking it to a whole new level, where baseball actually, I think, has had to change some of its rules, because they were using pitchers for like 2 innings each and taking them straight out, and it became almost farcical because no pitchers were staying in the game. Basketball has 82 games, and then you have obviously the finals at the end of that, and so basketball has had a rotation policy as well. The interesting thing with when basketball started resting their stars is the NBA started saying, you can't rest your stars when it's a televised game. And that, if this game is nationally televised, your stars have to play. And they started fining teams if it wasn't a real injury. So that's where the market force comes back into it as well. But yeah, I think that, again, they think about these things in a different way. They think about it as opportunities for other players, and they, you know, you have your you might have your starting pitcher and your main relief pitchers, but they then say they want to groom other players to be available for those sorts of things. But it comes back to the fact that you can still sign a really good backup pitcher, whereas if you only have one great new ball bowler and you rest him, you don't have anyone else. So, you know, England is in a position where they could rest and rotate their wicketkeepers on an innings-by-innings basis if they wanted to. That is not going to be the case for all international teams, but it is something that we need to start to think about. And I think teams are already there. The added thing that is just so confusing about cricket is the multi-formats. I mean, you have England now saying we are going to rest a player from a test match because we want him to be better for a T20 tournament at the end of the year. And that's a realistic thing that I can't think of another sport that really has to do, you know, deal with that. Like, if you're a really good drag racer, you're not also at Le Mans, are you? You're not having to do that. Whereas that's something that we have to do with cricket. So I think that even takes it a step beyond what the American sports have ever had to deal with.
Two things as a final thought before we take a break. The one is that rest and rotation policy, bats, just very, very quickly, comes from a good place. Whatever you think of it, whether you think that you should just pick your best 11 and get on with it. I mean, there isn't such a thing as a best 11 anyway, but it comes from a good place. The motivation is a good one, isn't it? And secondly, England have got 20 world-class players.
Yeah, I think you're picking the people with the right skill sets for the right environment against the opposition. So, you know, sometimes we do talk about, you know, if somebody's record is not very good at a ground, leave them out of that game and play somebody else who's got a good record. It might get to that sort of situation. So you don't play the 5 test matches because the game in the middle, you're not very good at, say, Trent Bridge. So you might miss that game. It might get to that at some point.
You've been listening to one of our lunchtime features from the first test between Neil Manthorpe, Jarrod Kimber and Gareth Batty. If you missed any of the show or wish to catch up, you can download the podcast from the Following On feed, available on Apple Podcasts, Acast and Spotify. Don't forget, we bring you live and exclusive ball-by-ball commentary of the second test from Chennai this Saturday on TalkSport 2 from 3:45 in the morning, with reaction on Outside Edge via the TalkSport YouTube channel following every day's play. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.